I invite you to turn, please, to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Way back in the Old Testament, Judges, chapter 6. My text will be verse 36 through verse 40, which we would like to read right now. Judges chapter 6, verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Whether we like it or not, life is a series of choices. It is a compilation of all the events and circumstances which come upon us as a result of our decisions and the decisions of others sometimes. Decisions, decisions, decisions. Sometimes they are hard, sometimes they are easy. But we have to make them, and we have to live with the results. You cannot avoid decisions. You cannot be like the guy who, when he was asked, Do you have trouble making decisions? And he replied, Well, yes and no. You can't be like that. Now, it is my objective to review the context of our passage and then reflect upon the content of the passage. And by this, we shall discover one man's method of finding direction, but also discover that it isn't the best method. Then I shall give you some principles on decision making. And by God's grace, we will learn something that will help us in our day-to-day existence in the choices which we make. And so I want to speak to you from Judges chapter 6, a message I have entitled, Making Decisions. And I trust that's very clear. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being in your house and those who could be with us today. And Lord, our heart goes out to those that cannot be here, who would love to be here. We ask that you would comfort them, bless them, heal the sick, be with those who are away, protect them. But Lord, as we've come together today in your name, we pray that, Lord, you'd bless your word as it goes forth and just speak to our hearts by it. Help us to learn, help us to grow, and let us be better servants. We do pray for those that are lost, that you would show them their need of Jesus Christ, convict them and draw them that they might be saved today. So we commit this time to you today, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want to think about making decisions today, and we're going to use our passage to illustrate that. We want to consider the context, as I promised unto you. And so, as we think about Judges chapter 6 and that which we've read from verse 36 down through verse 40, you have to keep in mind that there came a time after Israel entered into the land of promise, but before any king reigned, that judges ruled the land. A common listing of the judges is Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Samson, and Samuel. And so those are the judges. And the time of the judges was a troublesome and unsettled time. The book of Judges, or the Bible that we have here, this book bearing that name, details Israel's condition for us. And the time was earmarked by a continual departure of Israel from God. Upon which God then would send a punisher to execute judgment upon the people, normally by a neighboring invading force. And then after years of suffering, the nation would cry out to God for deliverance, and God, being merciful and compassionate, would send a judge. This judge would deliver the people and then lead them as a magistrate. Now the problem was, when the judge died, what do you think happened? Well, the people, they would again depart from God. So God would send judgment, and they would cry out to God, and then God would give another judge. And so the vicious cycle continued. You can read that all through the book of judges. Now, the judge of our concern, found within our passage, is the fifth judge of that common listing, and it's the judge by the name of Gideon. Judges chapter 6, verse 1 says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midians 7 years." And so Judges chapter 6, verse 1 tells us of their sin and about God's wrath upon them. And so you'll find in the passage that the Midianites and the Amalekites, they dominated Israel for 7 years. And their oppression of Israel resulted in what? Well, look at verse 6. Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And so, boy, this has been very difficult upon them as a nation. And so after that, you'll find in the context that God sent a prophet to preach unto the people, verse 8 down through verse 10. And then God sent an angel to Gideon. Now, God had chosen him to deliver Israel and to lead the people from bondage. Verse 14, look at that passage. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And so God chose Gideon to deliver the children of Israel. Well, after this, God instructed him to desecrate the local worship center of the false god Baal. And that's verse 25 through verse 27. And then following that, the Israel's oppressors, they came out in force and they gathered together to battle. And so Gideon was able to muster an army of 32,000 men. But what we find is Gideon was unsure of God's promise. And so he tested God, hence our text. And so we have battle ready, army on one side, 32,000 on another. How are we going to handle that? So Gideon, well, we have verse 36 down through verse 40. What we have, I trust you've heard this down through the years, is what's called Gideon's fleece. And so what you'll find is among Christians sometimes in our modern era, they'll say, well, I'd like to make a decision, so I'm going to put out the fleece. It's a direct reference to this story in the account before us. I'm going to put out the fleece, and they're going to try to assess God's mind. Well, we want to look at Gideon's fleece here. We've considered the context. We want to look at the content. And so we're going to read and peruse verse 36 down through verse 40. Now, as we do, as we've already read some of these verses, I want you to keep in mind that Gideon knew what God had said. In verse 36, Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And then he repeats that statement at the end of verse 37, "as thou hast said." Gideon already knows God's will. Just to have to keep that in mind. When you look at the passage, he already knows what God has said. Now, what I find Gideon doing is he's endeavoring to confirm what he thinks God has promised. And so he already knows what God has said. He's really going to try to confirm. Want to make sure that he's really on the same page. Now, keep in mind, and we look at the fleece and we see that he asked two responses here, but he had already asked a sign from God. If you'll back up even to verse 17, when the angel of the Lord had come to him and spoken to him, and well, he wanted some proof that this really was the angel of the Lord, that in verse 17 we have the record, and he said unto him, "If I have now found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Give me some evidence." And so you'll find what they did is they offered up offerings, and then the angels touched the offering on the rock and it was consumed in fire. Then the angel sent it up into heaven in the flame. And so that's kind of pretty good proof that this was an angel of God. And what I find here is Gideon, he's a guy that kind of needs some evidence. He kind of wants some proof along the way. So as the prophet spoke, or the angel rather spoke to Gideon to begin with, he said, show me a sign. And so now he knows exactly what God wants him to do, but when it comes time to really embrace it, he says, I want another sign. And then he wants another sign. And so Gideon has already asked a sign. He wants a couple more signs, and that's why we have Gideon's fleece. And so I refer you back to the verses which we've already read, verse 14 through verse 16. God had indeed told him what he wanted him to do. You will deliver Israel. You will go fight. I will be with you. I mean, he already knew. And so as he says, well, God, did you really tell me this? Is this what you said? God had told him so. And so we have this fleece as an indicator for him to go a little bit further or to respond to what he already knows is true. Now, when you think about the offering of the fleece, I just submit unto you that his test really involves common items, but an unusual circumstance. I mean, the fleece, that's something common. Anybody had sheep in those days would have fleece and be aware of fleece. They all knew about fleece. It wasn't some odd, unusual substance. It was fleece. And, of course, they all were well aware of the dew. And so these are very common items, but the circumstances is that which is an unusual circumstance. And so when he's taking these things that are very common, he wants something odd to happen. And, well, if you're going to test the Lord, you really do need to do something that's odd. You don't do something that's usual. In other words, you don't want to pray, well, Lord, if you want me to do this, have the sun come up tomorrow. I mean, there's a pretty good shot that the sun's coming up tomorrow because it comes up every day. And, well, may not. And, of course, if it doesn't come up, you don't have to worry about doing what he wants you to do because you're going to be dead anyway. But you get the idea. Well, you think of King Hezekiah when he wanted a sign from God. He said, Isaiah said, well, do we bring the sun dial down 15 degrees or back 15 degrees? Well, it's normal for the sun to progress across the sky and for the sundial, the shadow, to move and go down 15 degrees. And so he says, well, that's a typical thing. I want it to go back. And so God actually stopped time and went back 15 degrees. If my memory serves me correctly, I think that's like 45 minutes. But what we find is he asked for something unusual, and that's what he did here. He takes the fleece and he says, well, you know what? It dews every day, and I'm going to test God with this. So what was the first test? You look into verse 37. Behold, I will put fleece of wool in the floor or on the ground. And if the dew be on the fleece only and it be dry upon the earth, then I'll know that you will save Israel by my hand as thou hast said. And so very simply, he's just going to take that fleece, stick it out there outside. And when it dews on the fleece but not on the ground, then, well, the fleece will be wet and the ground will be dry. Now that is a very unusual thing. I've never seen it do in just one spot, especially the spot about the size of some fleece. But if it dews in the morning, you go out in the morning and it dews, I think it's very likely it's going to be all over the place. So you walk out to the grass and get your newspaper, you come back with your feet wet. And so it's because the dew's all over. Well, he says, well, my test is I'm going to just do on the fleece. I mean, very localized spot and be dry on the ground. Now, with this test, he's going to be convinced of God. Now, we see that because he mentions in the text, God, this is what I'm going to do. I want you to put the dew from the night upon the fleece only, and the ground will be dry. And then he says, by this I know. I shall know. That's going to solve it for him. This is the answer to his doubts. Then I will know that Israel will be delivered. And you sent me to do that. By the way, I'll know that you'll do just exactly as you've already promised. Now, if you stop to think about it, it's really just, he's looking for something he doesn't need to confirm. But if he has some questions, I can understand. But God has already told him. He already showed him what the angel was sending up in the flame. He already had everything that he needed, but he just doubted too much. And he just would not respond. And now he's saying, God, if you do this, I'll do what you want me to do, just as like all you've already said for me to do. And so we read in the passage, you glance there in verse 38, that God answered the first test. He did. But does Gideon believe? So it says in verse 38, and it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed out the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And so God does answer that. Ground's dry. Gets that fleece, bowl full of water. To be quite honest with you, I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that Gideon was hoping that fleece was dry. That's my take on it. I don't think he was really looking for that to happen. And when he went there, I think he was a little bit shocked. It is wet. Look at that. And oh, by the way, God did answer in such a clear fashion because it says it was a bowl full of water. It wasn't that he took the fleece and he wringed out just a little drop, you know, oh, there's a drop. Well, that's not really for sure. Did it really do or what happened? It was a bowl full of water. God answered very, very clear to him, but he did not believe it. Hence, we have the second example that we find in verse 39. Test number two, Gideon said unto God, well, let not your anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Well, he already did it one other time, but he's just saying, well, one more time. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And what happened? Well, God answered him again. Verse 40. Oh, by the way, God didn't have to answer him, but God did. God answered him again, and God did so that night, verse 40. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. All the ground. And so when he woke up, he looked out there, and his feet got wet as he went through over there, got over there, dry as a bone. Dry as a bone. Well, that's a lot of evidence, isn't it? That's a lot of convincing that he should be enough for him. Well, the first sign wasn't enough, the second sign wasn't enough, but thankfully the third sign, he was enough convinced that, this is really what God wants me to do. One thing I want to point out to you about this experience and the content of which we're looking at, I want you to back up to verse 34, because this is in spite of the fact that God's Spirit had come upon him. Verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered unto him, and that's when he gathered the army. The whole Spirit of God had come upon him. He was getting things gathered together. But when push came to shove, he said, I'm just not sure. I want some proof. And so he wanted his fleece. He was still doubting, even though the Spirit of God was upon him. Just wasn't sure. Now I ask you, is this a good decision-making process? First of all, you have to keep in mind that this is not a decision-making process. This is a confirmation process. He wasn't doing this to decipher God's will. We already emphasized in the passage time and again, as God has said, as you have said. And so it was rather, he just needed to be obedient. Be careful about fleeces to make decisions, because that's really not what goes on here. The decision is a confirmation. The decision is not, what do? Do I turn left or do I turn right? You see the difference? And so he's looking for a confirmation. And again, what we'll do, and if you're not careful, and I've talked to people down through the years, and to be honest with you, I've thrown out fleeces before, especially in my younger teenage days and early 20 days. I'd throw out a fleece here or there. But what we'll do is we'll often choose circumstances that are favorable to our desires. We'll set it up to where it almost is a given, because we already know what we want. We just don't want to admit what we want. And so we'll go, God, would you let me know? And we'll make it, like I said, you'll say, well, Lord, if you want me to read my Bible, let the sun come up tomorrow. You know. Well, you already know that, but you should read your Bible simply because it tells you to. But if you want to make decisions, should I date that girl? Should I date that guy? Should I propose to my fiance? You know, should I do this? Well, what should I do? Should I buy this house? Well, you better be careful about that kind of thing, because what you'll do is you'll create the circumstances to what you're really desirous in your heart to do. Be careful about those fleeces. But like Gideon, what we'll do is if we set out a fleece and we try to make a decision based upon that fleece, then we will often question the results if it's not what we come out what it comes out to be. I told you before, but I'm going to tell you again simply because it's funny. But it is an illustration that shows how it is. I remember years ago, long, long time ago, I was trying to decide whether to ask this girl out, and I decided I was going to flip a coin. That's a good way to make a decision, isn't it? And so as heads, I was going to ask her out. Tails, I don't. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to flip this coin. And heads, I'd ask her out. Tails, I don't ask her out. And so I flipped the coin and came up, went down. It was tails. And I said, Lord, 2 out of 3. But that's what we do. That's what we do. Well, what that did do is that showed my heart. I really wanted to ask her out. I just wanted God's approval for it. So I was going to try to make that work out. And I don't even think it worked out 2 out of 3. But it's just a matter of you try to manipulate those kind of things. At least he doesn't do that. I mean, this is very unusual. It doesn't do in one spot. And it doesn't do all over and not in one spot. So what we find is that he at least isn't doing it the way we do it in our society. But I will submit unto you, when you look at the providence of God, circumstances may be utilized. God does have a providence. And I believe that you can trust God's providence. Now, if you already know His will, there's no reason to ask God's will. God, is this what you're saying? Well, of course it's what He's saying because He already said it. But sometimes we still would like some confirmation like Him, and we'll look for providence. And there have been times where in years past when I was looking to get a new place of employment, and I would examine it, I would interview, I would look at all the parameters, and I'm a detailed person, and I study that kind of stuff out. And so I looked the pros and cons and all kinds of stuff, and I'd look at a place, and I'd say, well, God, from everything I can tell, this is a good decision, but I don't know absolutely for sure if this is it, so I'm just going to tell you right now, if you don't take it from me, I'm going to take that job if they offer it. Because from everything I can tell, it's a good decision. And so after prayer and study and everything else, and so, I've trusted that. And so if God didn't stop it, then I would take the job, and I've always been blessed in that fashion. And if God stopped it, then I always recognized that it wasn't His will, and I would go on. I wouldn't be all depressed about it. You can use circumstances, but you got to be very careful about that. And you have to be very careful about using a fleece to make decisions. You have to be very careful about that. But I do want to remind you of a text. I'm still on the content. I'm going to have to get to the decision-making process here shortly. But I want to remind you of something. If you vow a vow, always keep your promise. In other words, if you say, if, like when I told the Lord, Lord, should I ask her out? Not ask her out. And I flipped the coin, and tails, I shouldn't ask her out. Why? Because, well, you know, the truth is it came up tails. That was my promise, right? Well, I would. If you make a promise, if you say, Lord, this is the fleece. And what we find here is Gideon is saying, God, if you do this, then I know it's what you said. And I'll react to that. But the truth is, after it happened, he didn't react, did he? He threw another one out. So actually, he was going against his promise. If you make a promise, if you want to make decisions like this, if you want to confirm like this, then rest assured, my friend, if you promise, God, if you do this, then I will do that, then bet you better keep it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 through verse 6 says, I'll read it to you. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. So best thing is don't vow. You just be yea or nay. But if you're going to throw out a fleece, if you're going to make out some sort of promise like this, you best be willing to keep it. That's just a warning. Scripture can speak to your heart. What we find about Gideon is faith is what was needed. He didn't need proof. God already spoke to him. But he asked that sign. The angel will send it up in the flame. That was enough. But not for him. So he did the first fleece, and then he did the second fleece. And finally, there was enough proof to finally convince him to go ahead and do what God wanted him to do. So that's what we see about Gideon's fleece. By the way, when we return back to the story, and he goes to battle, he has these 32,000 men. Long story short, Gideon did go to fight. But God narrowed the soldiers down to 300. That's a message in itself. Gideon's 300. But narrowed the soldiers down to 300, and then God gave Israel great victory. And God did exactly what He said He would do through Gideon. That's the story of Gideon's fleece, and that's what we have. keep in mind, you have to bear in mind, he already knew what God wanted him to do. He was looking for confirmation. But you'll find in our society that the general Christian, when they say, I'm going to put out a fleece, that is not what they're doing. They're trying to use a fleece to make a decision for them. Do you remember back many years ago when they had a little black ball that looked like a bowling ball and it had a little window on it? And you could roll that thing over and then it had yes or no. Kind of almost like the Ouija board, that kind of a thing. But we had one when we were kids. And that's how you can make decisions. And all it was a cube inside floating in the liquid, you know, and you turn it over and something bubbles up and it comes up. And well, if you make decisions that way, you got a problem making decisions, my friend. Just about as bad as problem I had when I was flipping a coin to date a girl. So don't do that. That's not a good decision. Let me give you some decision-making principles. And I'll take the rest of my time with this. Here are some you want to make decisions, right? Here are some decision-making principles. Number one, try to discern the truth and the facts of the situation. John chapter 7, verse 24 says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. If you have a decision to be made, I don't care what that decision is, you'd be wise to discern the truth and the facts about the situation. Look at the ins and outs. Find out what's going on. See what it is. Do some investigation. But discern some truth about it. And you don't want to judge by appearance. Remember when Israel entered into the land of Canaan and the Gibeonites came over and they deceived the children of Israel? It says they didn't take counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They just looked at their provisions and they made a huge mistake and let the Gibeonites live. Why? Because they didn't check it out. So I submit unto you, first of all, you want to discern. You got to make a decision, buying a house, buying a car, going to school, not going to school, dating person, asking somebody to marry you, switching churches, doing this, doing that, whatever it is, you need to do some fact searching and look for the truth. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Number two, go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. What you need to do if you want to make decisions, this is one of the best counsels I've ever heard, and this is some of the best counsel I've ever given, and it's biblical counsel. Determine your true desires and if they honor God. Whatever you're going to decide, you have to determine your true desire and does that honor God. Psalm 37, look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Very simply, what that is saying is, you make God your priority, you delight yourself in him, and if you do that, you will have the right desires. And so as you go to make decisions and you try to choice, well, is this what I should do or not do? And is this honoring? Well, if you want to honor God and that's your main desire and you delight yourself in him, you'll have the right desires. And so then you can trust that those are right desires and you can pursue them. Hope that makes sense to you. George Mueller made a statement in one of his books. He said that when he went before God and he prayed, he said that one of the key things is to have no will of your own. Our problem is we already have a will of our own. We already have a bias. We already have a bent. And so we go to ask God some sort of decision. We already know what we want. We just want to see if God's on board with it. But George Mueller said, have no will of your own. And if you really want to make a decision between something, you just really need to just wipe out your will and say, God, what do you want? That's not an easy task, but you search it out. And this verse will help you. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And see, the thing is, you delight in God, you'll have right desires. That's really important. Number three, I believe it's necessary if we're going to discern God's will, we need to maintain proper fellowship with the Lord. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 will remind us of that, where Paul wrote and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And some of the times we go along in our Christian life and say, well, I just don't know what God wants from me. You know why? Because you're out of fellowship with him. You're walking at a distance. You're cold. And what we might say in our society, well, we're backslidden. Well, no wonder you can't tell what God wants. You're walking away off. I'm not saying every decision, because sometimes decisions come up and you can be just like that with the Lord and you still kind of have some questions and some ifs. I'm not saying that, but a good deal of the time, we don't know because we're not pursuing God. There's no fellowship there. He says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you want to make good decisions, it really does you best to maintain a proper fellowship with God and walk with Him and seek His face. And you'll see that decisions are much easier than when you're walking away from Him. It's much better if you're walking toward Him. So I submit unto you, main proper fellowship with the Lord. Number four, be filled with the Spirit, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and then yield to the Spirit's leading, as you'll find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. They that are of the Spirit are led of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, and that will help you on your decision making. Number five, seek for God's wisdom. James 1:5, and I don't know how many, I've given this verse out over and over and over again to people. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally to them that ask. I don't remember exactly the entire verse, but that's the point. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And my friend, when you have to make decisions, you need wisdom. So if you don't have the wisdom, you don't know what to do, it's up in the air, and things are conflicting, and you just really don't know which way to turn, you need wisdom. Where are you going to get that wisdom? First place is God. Let him ask of God. God, give me wisdom to know what to do, to know what to choose, to discern the truth. Don't let me be deceived. People come along, knock on your door, they could sell an air conditioner to an igloo. Or to an Indian in it that owns an igloo. You know why? Because they can talk anybody into anything. And so when you sit there and they people call up to you on the phone and they're trying to scam you or they're knocking on the door trying to scam you or whatever the case is, you say, God, I need wisdom to see the truth and protect me from making a mistake. I would encourage you to pursue that. Seek God's wisdom. Number six, ask, will this please God? So before you stop and say, God, please let me win the lottery. You have to ask, God, does this please you? Talked to somebody the other day. They said, yeah, I'd like to be a millionaire, but I've been trying to win the lottery, but I just don't put any money on it. I said, yeah, I don't either. I miss it by a dollar. Or now I guess it's two. I don't do it. And I told him, and I really do believe this. I said, I don't play. One of the reasons I don't play, simply because it's wrong, but I don't play because I'm afraid I'll win. I'm afraid I'll win, I'll be a millionaire, and then they'll go, Baptist preacher, Grace Memorial Baptist Church won $5 million from playing the lottery. Man, I don't know what to do about that. So I just don't want that to happen. Say, well, if you tithe, it would be okay. We're not talking about that kind of stuff today. Will it please God? So when you're decision-making, God, will this please you? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Will this please you? Is this what you want? Number 7, ask, will this honor and glorify God? John chapter 14, verse 13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. What are you asking? Why are you asking? Who's it for? Is it all about you? Why do you want that $50 million? What will you do with it if you get it? It's likely to just destroy your life. So God knows that. He's not going to give it to you. But will this honor and glorify God? That helps you make a decision. Go back to Proverbs. You're in Psalms, right? I'll come back to chapter 1 in just a minute. But go to Proverbs chapter 3. I want to finish this out. Proverbs chapter 3. I submit unto you number 8. Number 8, cautiously, this is principles for making decisions. Cautiously draw on past experience. Can you learn from the past? Can you learn from experience? You better learn. But I also use the word cautiously. Why do I do that? Because you can trick yourself and you can deceive yourself and misinterpret things. But you can learn from the past. You can. But Proverbs 3 tells us this. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do you think you'll make right decisions if you trust in the Lord with all your heart? If you'll commit your way unto him, will he lead you? He said he would. But lean not unto your own understanding. So yeah, learn from the past, but you just can't make it a guarantee. So cautiously learn from your experience. Proverbs chapter 11. Number 9. Proverbs chapter 11. I submit unto you in trying to make good decisions. Wisely learn from counselors. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Truth of the matter is, there are sometimes people out there that have more knowledge than we do. They're wiser than we are. And it's okay to ask. But I also use the word wisely. Wisely learn from counselors. Because there are counselors out there that don't tell you the truth, and they have a different world philosophy and worldview, and they might be telling you one thing, and God's telling you something different. Well, they're counselors. No, they're not good counselors. So you have to discern that. Number 10, if I'm still correct, go back to Psalm 1. The first Psalm. Be done in just a moment. By the way, you seek counsel, seek godly counsel. But then base your decisions on biblical precepts. Boy, that's good counsel right there. Psalm 1, verse 1 through verse 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man, focus on what God says. Make your decisions based upon the Word of God. And so a young person's looking at this girl over here or this guy, and they go, well, you know what? I'd really like to date him, but I'm a Christian. They're not a Christian. Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, he's already told you what to do. You just have to listen to the Word of God. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But yet Christians will do that, and they'll pray about that, and they'll put out fleeces about that, and they'll invariably marry a lost person. I've seen it over and over and over again. And then they have a very difficult time in their marriage because they married a lost person. They're two completely different people in their philosophy and spiritual perspective. Base your decisions on the Bible. You'll be much better off. It already gives you an indication. Just do it. Just respond to it. And then I would remind you, ask God to protect you from making wrong decisions. I do that all the time. God, keep me from making a mistake. Because I know how frail I am. I know how dim-witted I can be. Matthew 6:13, the first part of the verse in that model prayer, it says, and lead us not into temptation. God, I need your protection. One other passage, and I'm done. Philippians chapter 4. Principles for decision-making. After all those principles I've given to you and all that information, you have to make the best decision you know. Because you still have to make a decision. So you make the best one you know, but one of the ways you can help resolve that is to look for peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If I did everything that I could do to research and everything else and go by all these principles, and if I make a decision and say, God, this is the decision, this is what I think you want me to do, and I have no peace about it, I immediately step back and go, wait a minute, I have to reassess this. Something isn't right. Look for the peace of God. Now you have to be careful because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and people claim they have peace and they really don't. They talk themselves into it. But if you're honest before God, God will work on your heart. And if you make a wrong decision, He will indicate that to you if you're sensitive and if you're willing to listen. And if you don't have peace about it, I'm telling you, you better stop and step back and take another look at it. But if you have peace, you've already done all the research and everything else, God gives you peace, do you know what I would do? I'd go right on. and do what God would have me to do. And then let the circumstances fall. Do what God would have you to do. Every decision you will have some sort of impact upon your life. So I encourage you to make good decisions. Make godly decisions. I wish I had known all this when I was young. Make good decisions. Godly decisions. It'll make a difference for you. So there are some principles. You have an example, or not an example, in Gideon. But learn from it, and I pray it's a blessing to you. Let's stand, we'll sing. Song will be 349. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts. Just speak to us and guide us. And Lord, let us be responsive to you. And let us always be found true and faithful. Give us the wisdom that we need. We pray for grace and mercy to live for you and to love you. And help us to make the right decisions, Lord. And we know your word says that your peace will pass, that passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds. And so, Lord, help us to seek your face, do your will, delight ourselves in you. And you will give us the desires of our hearts because we'll have right desires. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. We ask that you meet every need of those in our meeting today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. It's 349.